Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good morning. It's another episode with Gina Brown. I'm your host this morning with Team Rural Radio. Just talking noise on the airwaves, just talking noise. This morning I wanted to talk about women having gifts. Women have gifts. These gifts are so great. We have created a world. Yes, we have. By giving birth and raising children and raising up people, we have given life. Now, you know, my mom, Alice, said, if it weren't for women having true grit, there'd be no such thing as a John Wayne. Well, that's one of the sayings off of a hill. So whenever she talks like that, it reminds me of Lynn's Creek, West Virginia, where she was born and raised. It was just over the hill where Mother Jones used to come to Cabin Creek. And those folks knew the story. Oral tradition travels a long, long way. Now, I don't think my mom, Alice, would mind me sharing with you that her grandmother raised her. I don't think Alice would mind me sharing with you that she was 10 years old and dying of malnutrition on her feet in Lynn's Creek, West Virginia. And this was not that long ago, folks. It was after World War II. I don't want to say. She's probably about 1950 or so. So it wasn't like the country was starving back then. But there really was no commodities or no foods going out to those resource-lacking areas. And when I say that, they were coal mining creeks. And she went to school one day, and the principal took her out and said to her that he was calling her grandparents where she lived. And he said he was tired of seeing a child die on her feet, that he had to get her into a hospital. And she said that when they took her to the hospital, they kept her for over a month. And, you know, they gave her vitamins and gave her nutrition, and all of her teeth fell out. I don't think she'd mind me telling you this, because at 10 years old, every one of her teeth fell out. And now that she's in her 70s, she feels like they've just kept this longitudinal study about her. And yes, she's been parts of studies about the liver and other things, because I think of this intervention early in her life that the medical field, you know, has wanted to see and learn. Because I told her, you know, she thinks the iron that they gave her is what caused her to lose her teeth. But what I wanted to share was that her story of overcoming that and how, you know, they fitted her with false teeth and she went back to school. But can you imagine a child living with its grandparents, going to school, back to school with false teeth and having to endure the bullying and all of the teasing and all of the things that she went through. I can't imagine it. I can't imagine it. But then, you know, she told me as she got up to be a teenager and she got up a little older, you know, stories of her father and stories of, you know, I want to say boating, when the boating would happen, how they would bring the pint bottles of moonshine in the truck up the creeks to turn out the boaters, they would get a pint of moonshine. And she's seen, you know, her daddy used to drive a moonshine truck. And she also said her daddy used to back that paddy wagon truck up to the Capitol. And he's gone now. She doesn't mind me talking about it. But he would back it up to the Capitol building in Charleston, West Virginia, and a certain amount of the load of liquor would go there. Now, we're talking 40s and 50s. So it ain't been that long ago. And there's other people in my family that have seen those trunk fulls of moonshine bottled in their mason jars going out to the creeks to be delivered to people to go vote. Now, this reminds me quite a bit of the gangs in New York. Yeah, that's the movie. And like my daughter said, you know, Mom, they used to take them into the bar, and then they would put a wig on them, give them another drink, and send them back out to vote. Oh, you're so right. You're so right. But see, one of the other travesties of justice that I want to reveal on Team Rural at the website that I'm building at teamrural.com and the things that I want to talk about at this show, Team Rural Radio, is that this thievery, this theft from common people has never stopped. It never has stopped. And she even told me of times when commodities, to feed these malnourished, starving folk would come up the hill, come up the holler, and they would take truckloads. They would disperse some of it, but then they would take truckloads and sell it to people who owned little supermarkets, people who owned businesses, stores where they could sell these commodities that were meant to be given away for free. Okay? And I have another aunt that started the United Food Operation in Charleston, West Virginia. And she she's on the board of directors, and she found that because of this hunger, and there was also, she told me, a group that were laid off from work, and they had no way to feed these people. There was no food banks, say, back in those days. And so she was a part of founding the United Food Operation there in Charleston, which is huge now. And, you know, I think about how women have worked so hard to change a world when it seems like the world has left the women behind. And when I say that, I say, for example, my daughter, I don't think she'd mind me talking about her, but say, for example, my daughter, doing the same thing I did, which is work a job while I'm raising children. And for the most part, when women come home, the men are the primary breadwinners. So we women tend to cook dinner, do the dishes, throw on a load of clothes to wash, you know, intermittently maybe glancing at the TV, fixing lunches for the kids the next day. When we go to bed 10, 11, 12 o'clock, we're exhausted. But we get back up the next morning and we'll fix the breakfast. We send them off to work. And it's like, you know, the men, and I'm not down in men, but it seems as if men, once they get home, they feel like their job is done. You know, either they turn on the ball game or some show or something. It's not like they're doing a load of clothes or they're, I'm sure there are men out there that are transitioning these hard times and see with their eyes what is happening. But if it weren't for women having true grit, there'd be no John Wayne. See, women have been working for nothing, with nothing, all our lives. And, you know, folks, it's going to get worse before it gets better. And I tell you that because history does repeat itself. History repeats itself. Now, Mother Jones came on the Cabin Creek, and she was snuck up the holler a couple of times. Now, if you don't know who Mother Jones was, just go Google her. There's more and more information coming out about her, some diaries written by women who knew her. And I know of her from my great-grandfather telling me about them union organizing on Cabin Creek and her coming up there. And, you know, they snuck her in because she was old and she always came under a false name and so that the coal mine didn't know the coal mine towns, the barons, the coal owner, operator, this, that, mine guards. These people did not know who this woman was because she came in under an alias, and then she would stay for a couple of weeks with a family that maybe had just lost a baby or lost their mother. So she was Great Aunt Pearl from out east who had come in to take care of them. And truly what she was doing was espionage work, for she was counting the mine guards. She was going into the company stores and looking at the pricing. People that don't know the story of the Battle of Blair Mountain or the West Virginia Mine Wars, a 20-year battle for workers' union and dignity and rights, well, no one would know that such a place existed 100 years ago where a white man could not walk from one town to another town, much less a black man or an immigrant. Heck no, none of them. Women kind of more freely went because they were doing laundry together, they were sewing together, they were doing things for the family together. And so Mother Jones taught the women how to make patterns, how to sew, how to be resourceful. I have a picture of my grandmother wearing a sackcloth shirt, second or third grade picture, and she's really embarrassed about it. She didn't like it. She thinks it's a terrible picture. Of course, she's a lovely girl, and you can see well, her dignity and her respect for herself is intact. It's just a beautiful picture. And I had to sneak out of the house to get a copy of it when she fell asleep one day because I thought, you know, I want this picture of my grandmother. And this was probably about 20 years ago when I went and got that picture. And she's gone now. She's been gone a couple of years. And I found a very old picture of her before she passed, and it's the same look on her face. It's the same eyebrow arch, the same knowing look in her eye as a child and as an older woman. And I thought, you know what is amazing about these two pictures side by side? She's the same person. She's not lost one ounce, not one iota of her self-dignity, her own right belief in her life and her quality of life. And, you know, if I can strive to look half that good in my eye when I die, then I've done a life for a living, you know, and I hopefully have passed that on to my children, because Maxine O'Neill certainly passed it to her children, her grandchildren, her great-grandchildren, everyone she's influenced. She was such a strong matriarch in our life. But I also have to tell you, she lived on that creek, you know, and they had a great role model come up that creek. And so, you know, I wanted to tell you today that I see women working, and heck, I don't think my daughter will mind to tell you, she works two jobs. And her old man has a great job, 40 hours a week, you know, he makes pretty good, but she maintains two jobs to keep a bit of independence for herself and works. And I think a lot of time about what they call the glass ceiling and why would they be so hesitant to pay a woman what they pay men. And I think it has to do with prejudice against the very fact that we're feminine, that we can multitask, and that we can do my grandmother always told me, I can do any job a man does just as good or better. And that's not to put men out of work, not at all. Because, you know, the old adage has been that if women, especially when they came back from the wars and things, when women had to do machinist work and this and that on assembly lines, that these men had to have their jobs back. But see, I'm like this. They could have a job for all of us, or if we even determine what job it was we like to do. See, we could all be paid an equitable rate of pay for the work that we do. Because truly, women are abused by this system. We are abused by this system. Not only does this system steal food out the mouths of children and babies, but this system has a form of child care services that I think really doesn't care children. There's a lot of people talking right now about child care services taking these babies right off the breast of mothers who are breastfeeding and putting them into foster care homes. And see, this is traumatizing to a child, traumatizing to a baby. And why do they do that? Well, maybe you say that this woman's on drugs, or maybe her husband or a family member, or some say they're not even married. Did someone call and made a report to DFAC, you know? Someone just called and reported that this mother was abusive or she wasn't able to care for her children, and so child care services comes in and takes that child. You wonder if it's really a service and do they really care? And at what point did the extended family stop caring for the children? In our family, it always was grandparents or aunts and uncles, and someone was always there so that the children never really were in daycares or in those kind of situations. I do not remember any of our family ever resorting to or, you know, leaving children with child care like daycares and things. And right now I'm working very hard with my children to keep, my grandchildren out of daycare because we feel so strongly about how influenced these babies are up until 5 years old. They say everything you need to know you learned in kindergarten, right? Well, kindergarten is five. But, you know, they didn't take us to school till I was six. And we had first grade. And I can remember a year or two after I started school, they started such a thing as kindergarten. And I can remember after I grew up thinking, oh, boy, I'm glad they didn't get me in kindergarten. Because they say the personality is formed by the time the child is five. So you just look at child care now that they want these Head Start. And they want your children in there at four. And then they want them in there at three. And really, what are they teaching them but to be good little citizens and good little consumers? Because the more you traumatize a child or a baby, and the more you do interventions, you've not allowed, hey, I don't want to say like in those nature shows when you see a baby lion's cub and its mother, you know, got killed, that the National Geographic doesn't run in there and rescue the babies and bottle feed them and this and that. No, guess what? Another lioness will come in there, and she will feed them, and she'll take care of them. And what has happened over the last, I would say, 40 or 50 years is that families have been broken apart by this system. The basic community that we see that's fallen down and fallen down all around us is just a subjective part of a larger family that's fallen down. And the quicker they created senior citizen centers and made you believe that we can extend people's lives so much longer, they can be a part of the family yet but live in a senior citizen residency. It's kind of the same way. Let us take your child out of your care, and we're going to do you a favor while you go on about your day. And see, they haven't made life easier for anyone, not the children and not the seniors. What they've done is made life harder on all of us. Because even Alice told me, her grandparents, raised her, and they did give her back to her grandparents. But she recalled that she wasn't eating. she said nothing made her want to eat. And it wasn't as if her grandparents weren't cooking and had some yard vegetables and had a yard garden, because that's something that they all had back in those days, those yard gardens and things like that. It's just she wasn't eating, and she had become listless and a little thin. Now, you know, I'm not knowing whether Alice would have been all right if the principal hadn't have intervened and took her out of school and done this and that. But I have a feeling that they were looking at poverty in the Appalachians, and that they've known, even the Edwards campaign talked about this poverty, his wife, this poverty in the Appalachian Mountains. See, they've known about this forever, for a long time. And believe me, my great-grandfather called the powers that be and extended theirself unto us, the corporate master. Now, corporate master been knowing people was hungry, and yet today, there's still not enough food to eat here in America. I mean, people are going hungry right here in America. And, you know, I saw something on a share this morning on Facebook about this grand opening of this tunnel in Switzerland and how they had all the heads of state of Europe there. It's the longest tunnel, the deepest mountain tunnel. And, you know, when you intrude upon Mother Nature, in those mountains is the sacred heart of the earth. And I can say when I viewed the video of the opening ceremony for that tunnel, I was disgusted, just shocked. I mean, it was a lavish display of money and wealth and what power can do. And I thought, you know, somewhere somebody's starving today, and at this very minute, someone somewhere is losing a child. And I just do not know how we can go on in such a system that is so disparaging to human life. I really, really do not know how we can do this. So just swinging topics, about the intervention of governmental bodies and governmental systems and how those interventions never truly help families. They never truly help children. They never really help seniors. They never really help anybody, you know. And the old adage is, well, okay, help yourself. Poor will be with you always. See, I don't want to hear that crap. That's what they bring to me. I mean, that is the only thing that they can bring to me, is that the poor will be with you. Wait a minute. It also says in Psalms that you will look with your own eyes and see this destroying of the wicked one and his ways. So, you know, if you're reading the Bible and you want to pick out some scripture that tells us how things are and why they are the way they are and how the poor will be with us always, and you're always going to have some rich people, okay? Well, when does the part come in about the earth abideth forever, we shall live forever? When is it that the righteous shall see the undoing of the wicked one? When do these things come into play? Because they're coming. They're coming. Because guess what? As long as women have true grit and women keep persevering and women keep working all these hours and days, we're going to keep benefiting our family, we're going to benefit our community, we're going to benefit our society, because women are the ones that are truly going to buckle down, and women are truly the ones that will take the sun. They will work without shade. Corporate Master knows this. He knows this. He knows this with a hearty laugh, because he don't care, you know. And it really makes me sick when I think of mothers who have said such things as Rothschild's mother saying, you know, if my son didn't want wars, there wouldn't be no war. And women like that, just, I guess for every queen of hearts, you got to have a queen of spades. And that's the balance that the world and the nature takes. But for too long, we've been off kilter and off balance. because the display of wealth and distribution of wealth and goods has been disparaged through greed. And this greed, the time has passed. They've done well enough to last as long as they have. But see, they're intruding into our future. And when I see the work of my children's hands, that they are working harder probably than me to do as much as they can for their children today, you know, it makes me just like it just rises up a gall inside of me. It just rises up a feeling of like I just want to puke all over the world, but then there are days that I feel like, you know, I can just embrace the world. Because what I want you to know is that you can change things. Just you perceiving your importance in this great scheme and this great role. Because as long as we participate, as long as we keep showing up and voting, say, for example, the last topic I wanted to talk about for a second was today, a bunch of people were voting. I saw on Facebook, Hillary, they're saying she's already won and they shouldn't have said that. And then, oh, well, if you go to her page, you'll see she said we still got to fight for those votes today. Well, just like my grandfather said back in the 80s, you know, he said they know who's going to be president. We have to wait till November. And he should know. He's one of them that had trunk loads full of liquor for votes, toting them out into the creeks in the 50s and 60s. See? He worked as a business manager for Appalachia Power and Coal. He thought unions was the way to defeat this machine politic. Because if workers could elect people to represent them to negotiate wages and negotiate as a block vote, they have more power. Well, this is true. This is true. Because he said, you know, it was true for a while in the 40s, 50s, and they could influence some things. But see, they were playing the game. They were playing the shell game that I talk about in the show, The Taken World. It's a shell game because the marble's under the shell, but what you don't understand is sleight of hand that the marble's already been dropped on the ground and hid from view. That shell is hiding. All three shells have nothing underneath them, nothing. So what I wanted to say is when we become peacefully noncompliant, as the lady said, the travesty wasn't the lowest voter turnout in the last election. The travesty was that the American public got up and went to work the next day. As long as people are compliant with the system as it is, taking your children, taking your seniors, taking your families and communities and tearing them apart, then they're going to do it. So I say I don't vote. I'm not voting. I'm not voting until they change a few things, until they give us an opportunity, the world, in a way that we would like to live it and see it. And women, you have a gift. You have a gift called life, and you keep giving and giving. So I want you to know that you're an important part of this puzzle. You influence your family more so than you would ever know. So I want you to be encouraged today, and don't rock the boat. Just don't vote. Don't go. Because one day there's going to be more of us standing outside not voting with signs than there are people that's voting. Then how are they going to pretend that they have a right to tell us how to live and what to do and how much we're going to get paid, huh? We can do this. It's called evolution of consciousness. That's what it is. Love and truth. Hey, have a great day. Women, just keep it to yourself and your heart because you know you're the life giver. And I love you and have a great day. Bye-bye.